Well, program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from John Russell and Brian Lynn. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is John Russell.
This year, people around the world are lining up to buy electric vehicles, even as prices increase. Electric vehicle, EV, demand has stayed strong even as the average cost of lithium-ion battery cells increased to an estimated $160 per kilowatt-hour in the first quarter from $105 last year. Costs rose due to supply issues, sanctions on Russian metals, and investor speculation. For a smaller vehicle like the Hongguang Mini, the best-selling EV in China, the higher battery costs added almost $1,500, equal to 30% of the listed price. But gasoline and diesel fuel costs have also increased since Russia invaded Ukraine, and experts noted that environmental concerns also are pushing more buyers to choose EVs. Manufacturers from Tesla to SAIC GM Wuling, which makes the Hongguang Mini, have passed higher costs on to consumers with price increases for EVs. More may be coming. Andy Palmer, chairman of Slovak EV battery maker InoBat, said rising costs will have to be passed on to car makers. But EV shoppers have so far not slowed down. Worldwide EV sales in the first quarter jumped nearly 120%, said the website evvolumes.com. Venkat Srinivasan is director of the Center for Collaborative Energy Storage Science at the U.S. government's Argonne National Laboratory in Chicago. He said more and more people would buy EVs notwithstanding the cost of the battery and the vehicle. This increase in battery costs could be an unusual short-term change in a situation in which improving technology and growing production have pushed costs down for almost 30 years. Industry data showed that the $105 per kilowatt-hour average cost in 2021 was down nearly 99% from over $7,500 in 1991. Experts say battery costs could stay high for the next year or so, but then another large drop is likely as big investments by automakers and suppliers change the balance from shortage to surplus. The industry has long been awaiting the battery cell cost of $100 per kilowatt-hour as a signal EVs were reaching a similar cost to fossil fuel vehicles. But with gasoline prices high and consumer preferences changing, such cost considerations may no longer matter as much, experts say. EV demand in China and other markets is going up faster than people thought, faster than the supply of materials for EV batteries, said Stan Whittingham, a co-inventor of lithium-ion batteries and a 2019 Nobel laureate. Concern about the environment and the climate also has led buyers, especially younger ones, to choose EVs over those that burn fossil fuels, said Chris Burns, chief executive of Novonix, a Halifax-based battery materials supplier. Many younger people entering the market are making buying decisions beyond simple economics and are saying they will only drive an EV because they are better for the planet, Burns says. They are making such a decision even though it would be cheaper to drive a gas-powered car. I'm John Russell.
The COVID-19 pandemic continues to strongly affect China's tourism industry. As a result, provinces are cutting prices for travel. They are offering tax reductions and even asking local people to help save an industry that provides millions of people with jobs. Official data shows that the drop in tourism has continued this year because of additional COVID-related restrictions on travel. New lockdowns and mass testing also appear to be playing a part. The southern provinces of Yunnan and Hainan are especially struggling. They depend on tourism earnings to grow their economies. Northern parts of the country that have a shorter season of warm weather are also hurting. The tourism situation has become more severe in recent months as the Omicron version of the virus has spread. Tourism made up over 11% of China's gross domestic product in 2019 and supported nearly 80 million jobs. Tian Yun is a former economist at the State Economic Planning Agency. Tian expected inter-province trips to increase during the 3-day Dragon Boat Festival holiday in early June. But, Tian said, if inter-province trips are banned during the Dragon Boat Festival, this year's tourism will be in chaos. A continued lack of tourism may remove at least 0.5 percentage points from China's 2022 economic growth, Tian said. The government expects the economy to grow by 5.5% this year. Cancellations and cuts in air travel are among the reasons people are not traveling. The number of weekly flights inside China is about 35,000. That is the lowest number since the year 2000. Official data shows that tourists from other parts of the country made up 5% of visitors at popular places across China during the recent holiday honoring ancestors. Hohhot is the capital of the northern Chinese area of Inner Mongolia. It is known for its grasslands. During the recent holiday, the number of tourist trips there fell by half. Earnings from tourism fell 53.5% compared to a year earlier. The southern island province of Hainan, called China's Hawaii, also had decreased gains from tourism. The number of tourist trips to Sanya, a beach area in Hainan, dropped 99% during the holiday, official numbers showed. Local visitors helped lift the number of tourist trips to Ningxia, a poor area dependent on tourism in northwest China. Ningxia has provided its local population with passes to more than 60 scenic areas for $31. That is a huge price drop compared to normal costs. Even with higher visitor numbers during the recent 3-day holiday, earnings sank 16.3% compared to 1 year earlier.
A doctor with the American Space Agency, NASA, has made a virtual visit to the International Space Station after being teleported by technology. Dr. Josef Schmid and several other people took the virtual trip last November. NASA recently announced results of the experiment. The agency said it was the first time that humans had been holoported from Earth to space. The term holoport is a combination of the words hologram and teleport. A hologram is an image produced by a computer and made of light. Hologram objects appear in a shapely form, not flat like other images. Teleport means to travel extraordinarily fast using special technology. Such technology does not exist, however. Holoport technology can project 3D models of people in any environment. This permits people physically present in the environment to see, hear, and interact with the holoported individuals. The experiment at the ISS involved a computer, camera, and special software developed by NASA and its industry partner, AXA Aerospace. Special headsets enable people involved to interact with one another as if they were in the same shared space. The camera used was the Kinect model made by American software company Microsoft. The camera can be combined with Microsoft's HoloLens 2 headset device. While Microsoft has been using holoportation technology for several years, NASA said it was the first time it had been used in such an extreme and remote environment such as space. Similar technology has been used to assist doctors performing remote operations and in telemedicine. Telemedicine is a way for people to talk to doctors and receive health care without having to visit a medical office, treatment center, or similar place. Schmid described the technology as a completely new manner of human communication across vast distances. He said the process represents a brand new way of human exploration, where our human entity is able to travel off the planet. During the experiment, Schmid was able to speak with Thomas Pasquet, a European Space Agency astronaut aboard the ISS. AXA Aerospace chief Fernando de la Peña Laca and several members of the company's technology team also took part in the holoportation event. NASA said the technology demonstrates a new form of communication it plans to use on future space missions. It could permit people on Earth to be holoported to space, as well as send astronauts on virtual visits to Earth. Schmid said the system could be used to hold private medical, psychiatric, and family meetings, and to virtually bring important people to the space station to visit astronauts. He added that the next step could be to combine holoportation with augmented reality technology. Augmented reality, or AR, is a technology that can project computer-created imagery onto headsets like the HoloLens 2. The images appear in the headsets along with other physical objects in the environment. AR has been used to help guide workers through complex industrial processes. Imagine you can bring the best instructor or the actual designer of a particularly complex technology right beside you wherever you might be working on it, Schmid said. NASA said holoportation technology could greatly improve future missions into deep space. I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. The months before Election Day in November of 1980 were difficult for President Jimmy Carter. Many Americans blamed the Democrat for the nation's economic problems, including high inflation and high unemployment. Many also blamed him for not gaining the release of 52 American hostages in Iran. About a year earlier, Muslim extremists had seized the United States Embassy in Tehran and taken the Americans as prisoners. President Carter urged all Americans to support his administration during the crisis. As the months went by, however, he made no progress in bringing the hostages home. The Iranians rejected negotiations for their release, and an attempt to rescue them failed. The president appeared powerless. Carter's political weakness led another Democrat, Ted Kennedy, to compete against him for the party's nomination. The Republican Party, however, was united behind a strong candidate, Ronald Reagan, a former actor and former governor of California. Reagan's running mate for vice president was George H.W. Bush. Bush had served in Congress and as head of the Central Intelligence Agency. He had also represented the United States as ambassador to China and to the United Nations. The inability of the Carter administration to solve the hostage crisis and other problems made many Americans feel that their country was weak. Reagan promised to give them confidence once more in the nation's strength. Carter and Reagan debated each other several weeks before the election. To some people, Carter seemed angry and defensive, while Reagan seemed calm and thoughtful.
Next Tuesday is Election Day. Next Tuesday, all of you will go to the polls and make a decision. I think when you make that decision, it might be well if you would ask yourself, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Is it easier for you to go and buy things in the stores than it was 4 years ago? Is there more or less unemployment in the country than there was 4 years ago? Is America as respected throughout the world as it was? And if you answer all of those questions yes, why then I think your choice is very obvious as to who you'll vote for. If you don't agree, if you don't think that this course that we've been on for the last 4 years is what you would like to see us follow for the next four, then I could suggest another choice that you have.
On Election Day, voters gave Reagan a huge victory. It became known as the Reagan Revolution. Inauguration Day was January 20th, 1981. Ronald Reagan became the nation's 40th president and, at 69, the oldest ever elected. In his inaugural speech, the new president talked about the goals of his administration. A major goal was to reduce the size of the federal government. Reagan and other conservatives believed that the nation's economy was suffering because of high taxes and unnecessary laws. Government, he said, was not the solution to the problem. Government was the problem. He urged Americans to join him in what he called a new beginning.
The economic ills we suffer have come upon us over several decades. They will not go away in days, weeks, or months, but they will go away. They will go away because we, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Ronald Reagan was born in 1911 in the small community of Tampico, Illinois. He was a good student and a good athlete. While in college, he became interested in acting. But he did not have enough money to go to New York or Hollywood to study to become an actor. Instead, he tried out for a job as a sports announcer on radio. A radio station in Davenport, Iowa, liked his creativity and gave him the job. Later, Dutch Reagan, as he was called, worked at a radio station in Des Moines, Iowa, and then he moved to the big city, Chicago, where he worked as an announcer for the Chicago Cubs baseball team. In March of 1937, the Cubs were in California for spring training. Reagan went along, and while he was there, he took a screen test with Warner Brothers. The movie studio liked the friendly, handsome young man and offered him a job. Before long, Ronald Reagan was a Hollywood star. In the 1940 film Canute Rockne, All-American, Reagan played Notre Dame University college football player George Gipp. His deathbed speech contained a line that would often be associated with the Reagan presidency.
Ask them to go in there with all they've got. Win just one for the Kipper. I don't know where I'll be then, but I'll know about it. I'll be happy.
In King's Row, Reagan played a double amputee who had lost both legs.
Randy! Randy! Where's the rest of me? Randy!
Yes, Drake?
It was an accident.
Yes, dear. But don't talk about it yet.
He remembered King's Row as the film that made him a star. During World War II, Reagan joined what was then the Army Air Corps and made training films. Reagan became deeply interested in politics during his years in Hollywood. He started out a liberal, but his political views became increasingly conservative. He served six times as president of the Screen Actors Guild, a union of movie actors. After the war, Reagan guided the Screen Actors Guild through a frightening time for actors and others in the entertainment industry. It was the time of the powerful House Un-American Activities Committee. Its hearings resulted in the feared blacklist. The blacklist was responsible for hurting, even ending, the careers of many in the film and television industries if they were thought to be communists or to have communist sympathies. It was through the blacklist scare that Reagan met his second wife, Nancy Davis. Her name had mistakenly been confused with that of another actress, causing it to appear on a blacklist, and she sought Reagan's help in correcting the mistake. They fell in love and would marry in 1952.
Must be a big push this time, Dace.
The Admiral told me not to tell.
Reagan and Nancy Davis appeared together in the World War II drama Hellcats of the Navy, in which he played a naval officer and she a Navy nurse who loved him.
The Admiral should have told me not to worry.
I thought we settled all that about you and me.
It won't stay settled, Case. Not until you tell me you stopped caring.
By the early 1950s, Reagan stopped appearing in movies and turned instead to a new medium, television.
And every Sunday night, General Electric brings you the finest motion picture stars on TV.
For many years, Ronald Reagan was the commercial spokesman for General Electric and host of a series of dramatic shows. For much of his life, Ronald Reagan was a Democrat. But by 1960, he was making speeches for conservative Republican candidates. In 1966, he became a candidate himself. He ran as a Republican for governor of California. Democrats did not take him seriously. They made fun of some of his movie roles, as in Bedtime for Bonzo, a comedy where his co-star was a chimp. But Reagan had the last laugh. He won the election by almost a million votes. As governor, Reagan was praised for reducing the state's debt, but criticized for raising taxes. Some people also thought he reacted too strongly against student unrest on college campuses. But he won re-election in 1970. In 1976, Reagan ran for the Republican presidential nomination. He came close to winning that nomination away from President Gerald Ford. After accepting the nomination, Ford asked Reagan to share the stage with him. The strong welcome that Reagan received was a clear sign of his future in the party. That future would come just 4 years later when Reagan won the presidency. On Reagan's inauguration day, Iran finally released the hostages it had been holding for 444 days. Walter Cronkite paused in his CBS television coverage of the inauguration for this breaking news report from Dan Rather.
Walter, according to our CBS News sources at Tehran Airport, one of the two Algerian jetliners is taxiing, or was just a few moments ago. Now, as best we can make it out, here is where the situation with the American hostages stands at this moment. They remain in Tehran, or at least they were up until just a few moments ago at the airport, apparently moments away from their flight to freedom, a few moments after spending 444 days in captivity. And can you imagine what it must have been like inside that airliner for the hostages this morning?
As president, Ronald Reagan quickly began work to get Congress to reduce taxes. He also began a weekly series of radio broadcasts. Each Saturday, he would comment on developments in American life and politics. Reagan's ability to relate to people earned him the nickname the Great Communicator. 2 months after he took office, Ronald Reagan was shot while leaving an event at a hotel in Washington. In the first moments, no one realized that he had been hit, but there was a bullet in his left lung, close to his heart. At the hospital, Reagan jokingly told the doctors, "I hope you're all Republicans." They were able to remove the bullet, and he made a full recovery. The gunman, 25-year-old John Hinckley Jr., was sent to a mental hospital. His explanation for the attack was that he was trying to impress the actress Jodie Foster.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.